All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is good to be here. On daylight savings time, we have sunshine breaking through after 2 to 3 days of rain. It sure is starting to look good. Sunshine, but boy, sure need the rain also. As you can tell, it's not Brother Jerry. And Brother Jerry is still in Alabama at the Bible Conference. I haven't heard anything about the Bible Conference, but gave some past history. I'm sure it's good. And if Brother Brian Seitz and Mark Rumfeller and Steve Atwood get together, this will be a riot. It's always good there, too. But anyway, Brother Jerry will be back tomorrow. In fact, the Georgetown Bible class will go on as scheduled. Brother Jerry will be there, and everything else continue on this week. And the ACTS seminar is coming up in April 19th through the 22nd, and Brother Jerry will be doing that over in North Carolina, I think Brother Brian Seitz Church. So just remember in your mind the Bible Conference today is the last two preachers to preach. Sometimes it's most of your local preachers are already scattered on Sunday. They've gone back to their churches, so the attendance kind of drops down on Sunday morning, but it's still really good. In fact, one Bible Conference, the preacher who was supposed to preach Sunday morning, the first one, was he forgot. He just went back to his church. So I ended up doing the first hour at the Bible Conference. But it was fun. I really enjoyed it. Anyway, well, I'm not going to do like most churches do. At the first part of the service, they start talking, and then finally somewhere along the line, they get into the Bible. Let's turn in our Bibles. Turn to John chapter 15. Let's learn a little bit more about rightly dividing the Word of Truth and realize some things are for us and some things are not. If you can stomach some of the Christian radio preaching, as I try to myself, and listen to what's going on in the Christian world, supposed quote-unquote Christian world, and realize that most preaching is just gobbledygook, and it's a good way to catch up on your sleep, because it's so pathetic of knowing that these are men who supposedly are trained in preaching the gospel of Christ, have no idea what they're preaching. I was listening on the way over here, and I like listening to the guy. I know he has a heart for the Lord, but it's just misdirected or misguided. Because you're not going to get the whole country to turn back to the Lord, and you're not going to do it through Jeremiah chapter 3 and 4. You're just not going to do it. Four times he read the passage, "You men of Judea and Israel. You men of Judea and Israel." And on and on. And it's who the Lord was talking to. It wasn't talking to us. And another thing, if we turn back to the Lord, supposedly, quote unquote, to the Lord as a Christian nation, supposedly, what's going to happen? Nothing. Because God is not dealing with a nation. He's dealing with people individually. Amen. If you want to know God's will, it's simple as this. God would have all men to be saved, comma, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. It's a one-time thing where you trust Christ as your Savior, knowing that He died for your sin and was buried and rose again for your justification, that you can have eternal life by trusting Jesus Christ at one time moment when God seals you until the day of redemption and puts you in the body of Christ. And then there's a comma and says, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. A long time experience. Hopefully that the rest of your lifetime. Hopefully in the sense that if the Lord tarries the rest of my life, if it's long enough, I'll keep coming unto the knowledge of the truth. The more we study, the more we realize, I don't know that much. One man described it a long, long time ago, and I agree with this concept. He just had a little dream about how much he knew about the Lord. And his feet were at the on the beach, Pacific Ocean, and a drop, the waves come up, and a little speck of water hit his toe. He said, "That's how much you know. There's a whole ocean of who I am, and this is what you know, just a little drop of water." And it encourages me that there's so much to know about the Lord, and as long as we have time and health and ability to concentrate and think, that we can study about what God has to say in His Word, we can come unto the knowledge of the truth. It is so important that we do so because we don't lead men astray. Yesterday, I'm getting to John chapter 15, but I was in a group of guys. We were fixing to go out to do our job assignments. And one guy said, "Hey, I heard you're a preacher." And I said, "Well, part-time. I preach on Sunday sometimes. And I teach in Arlington." And they know I leave to go up to Arlington to teach Bible studies, but it kind of got out of the bag. "Well, so what are you?" are you Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever, Hellfire, Brimstone, whatever? And I said, well, really not none of those things. You've got to be something. Well, I am something. I lean towards the Bible that God wrote down. And it's not that I would condemn you on anything. It's simply, and I got it out. It's the gospel of Christ, the power of God and salvation, that if you would trust Christ, that He died for your sins, He was buried and rose again for your justification, you could be saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And I mean, there are seven of them there. That's simple. It is. And then, of course, it was over with. But I got the gospel out, and I was able to do so and make it simple and not condemn them, because all of them were living unhealthy lifestyle. I just tell them, man, you need to stop all this. I've never seen guys. I mean, so much. And these guys are 30, under 30, 30 to 40. And I want you to live a long life. But you need to be saved so you can live a long life, or at least go to heaven when you die. But anyway, it's one of those things that happened. It's getting to the gospel of Christ. If I would have told those people, you know, if we would turn back as a nation, as a whole, and God would start blessing us and things get back right, but it's like, oh, yeah. that's really going to happen. And it's just not going to happen. We need to trust Christ and come into the knowledge of the truth. John chapter 15. Is this true for us? We're going to find out, because this is preached quite a bit this last 2 weeks on the radio. I am the true vine, verse 1, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, and think about that, being in Christ, every branch in Christ that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye, my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye have loved one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not the servants, but for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now in that passage, and it's used quite often to show people they need to bear fruit, and they need to do what the Lord tells them to do, bear fruit. Because if you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cast away as a branch. So in this passage, help me from the audience. What are some key words this passage would tell us that this is not for us?
If.
Good one. Good one to start. If. What's another one? If. All right, let's put this as the springboard. Okay? You said keep my commandments. If you keep the commandments, then you'll abide my love. If you abide in me,
yes,
you'll bear fruit. Now this was not an if thing, this is kind of like awful thing is, who are these guys called friends? We're enemies. We were enemies. If you have trusted Christ, you're not an enemy. I wanted to use it as a springboard to show that this is how the religious system puts the banner, puts a sword over your neck and saying, ha, you better abide or God's going to cast you out. And I went to a system that said, if you're saved, you're saved to the end. But they kept the sword over your neck going, you're just sinning. You're just not good enough yet. And that's the whole religious system. It puts the rules and regulations on it and says, if you repent enough and get good enough, you can be a part of our assembly. Okay, I'll leave. What was that? Huh? I guess so. I've never heard that before since I've been here. The Trump? I missed it. Start preaching the law. We just had a loud horn of sound. I don't have no idea where it came from. We didn't go up, so it wasn't the right Trump. It was off key. Praise the Lord. Anyway, the religious system is going to tell you, you have to do things to, in order to prove your salvation. And I've said this many, many times that I heard from Adrian Rogers, the faith that fizzles before the finish was faulty from the first. If you don't hold out to the very end, it just proves you never were saved. That's 1 John. It's not the body of Christ. And we're going to find out why. Turn over to your right to 1 John, in fact. Turn over to 1 John. Let's just find out some more ifs and things that we can not do. And it's part of the Word of God. And don't discount it. Many of those verses in John chapter 15 are in a sense true. We must abide in God's Word in Christ to, in a sense, produce the fruit of the fruit of righteousness, in the sense that we are able to produce things and cause the body of Christ to grow. If we don't cause the body of Christ to grow, it's because we're not preaching the gospel of Christ. We preach the gospel of Christ to people and allow them to make a decision and trust Christ. We can't force them. We can't manipulate them. I grew up in a system that was good at manipulating people. Come down an aisle, feel sorry for your sins, repent at the altar, cry on the altar, and on it goes. Touch the TV or come down the aisle at the stadiums. It's just a myriad of things you have to do in order to trust Christ, supposedly. It's simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that He died for you, and if you trust Him, He seals you unto the day of redemption. That's all it is. And we make it so complicated in the religious system, and we add things to it. You might be saved, but you better prove it. And that's the whole thing about 1 John and James. You say you have faith? Well, show me your faith. And James says, I'll show you my faith by the things I do. And that's all about the book of James. Doing things. And if you remember in John 15, it says, if you abide in me, you've got to abide in Christ. You've got to do the doing. You've got to produce the fruit. Because if you don't, whack. And it's the old adage, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. In James 1:12, it says that about temptation. He that endureth temptation, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And most preachers I knew use that as a way of overcoming. Once you overcome a certain sin, you've got the crown of life in that sin, so to speak. You've overcome that one. Let's say it was gluttony. Once you've overcome that sin, you've got it made. Well, there's times that I've lost. I got down from 270 down to 190. About 4 or 5 years later, I'm back up to 240 or 220 or whatever. What happens? Pizza. That's what happens. Pizza. And it sure smells good. Or a good old-fashioned ribeye steak. And too much food and not enough exercise. It'll cause those things to happen. And, of course, bad food, too. But it's not the case. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And James chapter 1, verse 12 means, when you're whacked, when you're dead, when you have endured the temptation to the end, meaning giving up your life, you shall receive the crown of life. How did a saint from the kingdom of heaven get his salvation? To the end. He had to endure to the end. He worked on it to the end. He had to stay faithful to the very end. Thank goodness. All right, I told you to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse, let's start with verse 4. He that saith, I know him, that's the Lord, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him.
He that saith he abideth in him, all himself also so to walk, even as he walked. There's another, follow Jesus in his footsteps. Peter said we should follow his steps. 1 John says, follow as he walked, his steps. His steps lead to a cross. You have to die for your faith. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. That old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Boy, it's getting more exciting there as it goes. He that saith he is in light, hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling. But he that hateth his brother, is in darkness, and walks in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Pretty plain. These people had to sell out everything they had, get away from the world system, because when Christ was on the scene and he told them certain commandments to keep, the next thing on the Jewish calendar in prophecy was the tribulation. And that's what they were looking for, to endure the tribulation. And if he said, Luke 14, if any man come unto me and hate not his mother, father, brother, sister, cousin, everybody else in his family, then you cannot be my disciple. He knew what he was talking about, and they knew what he was talking about because they realized the next thing is the tribulation. And in order for you to be able to endure the tribulation, you may be willing to sell out everything and focus singly on the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. No money, no buying, no selling. You're going to have to trust the Lord for your provision. You're going to have to ask daily for your bread. Give us this day our daily bread and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil, because the tribulation is going to be the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of great wrath. And men are going to get to the point where they see their family starving to death, and it crosses their mind, I've got to do something for them. Oh, you cannot love your family more than me, because what if you do, you're going to take the mark of the beast. But whatever that mark may be, that signifies that you are going to succumb to the religious world system and be a part of that system. And it says very plainly in Revelation, he that hath the mark out, he's gone, he's toast. And it's going to happen. Men are going to see their family starving. Things going to happen, or family's going to start turning on them. Hey, my dad, he's one of those guys. We need to go get him. They turn their family in. And that's how it is within the time of tribulation. These things were written for the people of during the tribulation. Tribulation saints. Look at verse chapter 3. Look in verse 7. You think we can do these things? Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Oh boy, here I am. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's true. But there's another part of it. Whosoever is born of God, every other version says, except for the New American Standard, says, doth not practice sin. It says, doth not commit sin. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Sounds like somebody's been born again into this kingdom. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. So are you born again? I'll say, nope, I am saved, but I'm not born again yet. I look forward to be, because that's the day when I won't be sinning anymore. What are the four things we know of sin? Transgression of the law. He that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. All unrighteousness is a sin. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now there's three more specifics in Proverbs. Pride is sin and other things too. But those are the four major categories of sin. And notice that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's in Paul's category. Everything else is in the kingdom. Keeping the law, all unrighteousness, whatever. It's whatsoever is not of faith is sin in our regard. We need to trust the Lord and His Word and keep pressing on and focus as much as you can on God's Word. It's whatsoever is not of faith and trust. I wonder if I should eat this meat. Just eat it, brother. Just eat it. To me, it's just there to eat. So I have no problem with that thing. Just put it in front of me and I'll eat it. So that's why I enjoy the Bible conference over in Louisiana. That's my type of people. What is it? Don't ask, just eat. Oh, and it was good, though. It was really good. Anyway, okay. Now, do you want to be a kingdom saint? Do you want to abide in the if? Do you want to abide in the abide thing? If you don't, you're going to get whacked off. If you want to be a... I wish we were friends, but we're enemies. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Let's just do a little comparing with the Scriptures. Romans chapter 5. Number 5. Look at verse 1 before we get to the enemy part. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds continuous and sounds permanent, doesn't it? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And look at verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet friends, Christ died for us. Nope, sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, here's the if that we like, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Before we even trusted Christ, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Now be reconciled to God yourself. God's already caused the peace to happen. I'm not mad at the world anymore. You're reconciled to me. I'm reconciled to you. Now be reconciled to me. And where it says we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. What happened when Christ rose from the dead? Showed the sins were paid for. You're justified by His resurrection. We'll be saved by His life because He's alive and we will have resurrection. That's when we're saved, because we are saved by His resurrection, because He was justified in the sense that all sins were paid for. Not one was missed up. One was forgotten. One was not paid for. Every sin that's ever been committed. And we understand how great a salvation when we understand how much Christ had to pay for on the cross, when we realize that all my sins, all your sins, and multiply that by billions, and you have a man that was on a cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you look hideous right now. Because you're carrying the sins of the world and the sin nature of mankind. And it's too bleak for me to look on. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because of my sins. On that cross, He died for. And it was accounted to us as righteousness when He died on that cross. He paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and on it goes. I forgot the rest of it. my mind just went slip. But it is, He paid it all to Him I owe. And it is something, but how do we owe it? Do we owe it out of obligation? No, we owe it because of what He did for us. And we're going to find out that it's not because if you don't abide, you're going to get whacked. The more you trust Christ and His Word, the more He just releases the joy through His Word and the peace that comes with it and the understanding of who He is, it turns us to, in fact, if you'll turn to Philemon chapter 6, or verse 6, Philemon 6. I've used this many times here, and I use it many times everywhere else too. I love this verse. We'll start in verse 3, Philemon. And again, when I was in Kentucky, I appreciate the question that was asked. And the elderly lady was asking, how do we share this wonderful truth? And I want to. And I said, it comes with knowledge and understanding through the Word of God. But one day, when you understand who you are in Christ, it's going to start coming out of you even faster and faster and faster. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now look, watch verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Everything that you have in Christ. The day, it was those 30 days, the Bible studies that I went to when I was incapacitated by my blood clot. And I went to every Bible study, and I started hearing through Brother Jerry, Brother Scott, Dwayne, everyone that would preach, Mike Schroeder, on and on. Everybody who was sharing what it was to be saved, the more I understood by the end of those 30 days, I just could not hold it in anymore. I realized what I was in Christ. It was so exciting to go into the when I returned to work, and people asking, what happened to you? And I wish I could tell you, I got saved, but I realized who I was in Christ, and it's made all the difference. I know I was saved, but I realized what I am in Christ, that I have been forgiven. It's not the system that says, you better prove that you're saved. It's He loves me no matter what. And I'm thankful that He loves me no matter what, because I can count all the times and more of all the times I've failed along this path of life walking in this Christian faith. It's because He loves us with an everlasting love, unconditional love. And He says, I will love you to the end. I will hold you to the end. You're mine to the end. And I'm not going to let you go. And when you understand who you are in Christ, it becomes a very effectual of what by every good thing you're able to communicate it properly. And make people understand what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that God would have all men to be saved that one moment, comma, and come into the knowledge of the truth. It's like a big funnel. Think about it. As we come into the knowledge of the truth, we have a limited understanding when we get saved. You may just know that Christ died for your sins and you trusted that. Praise the Lord. Well, as you grow in grace in the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God, it becomes a funnel. It just starts opening up. And your eyes just go, wow, wow, this is getting better and better. Has it ever got worse yet? No, it gets better and better. We're realizing what we are and the hope that we have laid up in heaven for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to come back and get us with a horn shout that's on key, and we'll go and be with Him forever. Look in turn over to, get these things out of order here. Oh, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I never heard this verse preached in 25 years in the Christian system. I've never heard it preached on the radio. I've never even heard it even mentioned. Because here's the key of doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14. It's so simple. For the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ constraineth. It pushes us forward. And He pushes us in such a way, when we know the love of Christ, it pushes us forward. It makes us want to say things. Not that you have to. I'm not going to put you under bondage, and God doesn't either. And as I told those guys yesterday, it's not things that you do, and it's not things that you have to run from or repent from or do. It's trusting Christ. A simple act of faith. But once we know what Christ did for us and we understand His love for us in such a way, it pushes us forward that we want to do something. Not that we have to. Remember, the body of Christ is a full body of people who have been placed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And He now gives us the opportunity to serve Him and earn a reward. It's all up to you, in a sense. It's like the kingdom of saints. They had to abide to the end to get their salvation. The Lord says to you, how much of a reward do you want? It's all up to you. And He's not going to condemn you. In fact, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And then look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God is not mad at the world. That's all I ever heard growing up in the system I was in. That God is mad at sinners. And they preach against sin. And you sinners. And those people out there that go to those honky-tonk bars and all those other things are just bad people. I like what Brother Dwayne said a long time ago, and it threw me a curve when I was just starting out. It's not good people to go to heaven. It's bad people. That's right. That's me. I'm bad. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I have a Savior. Am I good? Nope. I wish I was. I may do good things. Thank goodness I had good parents that taught me to do good things. But in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In my flesh, I could go out there and get somebody there and give them a few hicks on the head for doing something to me. That's my flesh. It wants revenge. It wants pride. It wants to be held up as an example, whatever. But in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The Lord said in John 6:63, the flesh profiteth nothing. Those that dwell in the flesh or live in the flesh or try to rest on their flesh and think they're going to correct the flesh, good luck. And one day you look back and say, what a waste of time. As we walk by faith, comma, not by sight. The things I do in my flesh, y'all couldn't even keep up with me. I sometimes drive too fast. I finally got this thing that says slow down on my thing. It says slow. It comes out when it goes above the speed limit. And I just don't pay attention sometimes. I'm just driving along. And I'm breaking the law by speeding. And I get paid my wages, tickets. I don't have as many as you think I ought to do. But it's just, you see what our flesh wants to do? You tell me to go 55. Oh, man, we're not made for 55. We're made for 75. Remember when the speed limit was changed to 55? Oh, man, that was torture. I will say, I outraced a DPS in a Vega. Thank goodness I knew the back roads. And I got through it. I thought, what in the world have I done? Man, you idiot. If he had caught you, you'd go to jail. I never did that again. Oh, man, that was something. Keep the law, brother. Don't speed. Anyway, turn over to, turn to your right to Colossians chapter 2. I'll tell you how sinful I am. I set the speed record on Highway 105 from Conroe to Cleveland. It was 96. It's now 100. I passed a guy and he started speeding up, so I zipped on around him and I was at 85 when I finally passed him. And I said, I wonder if this thing will hit 100. Man, I'm doing around there, smoking around there, coming in. And I saw a sign that said, oh man, I'm coming up on Cleveland to which, where there's a sharp turn. I better start thinking about slowing down. By the time I was thinking that, there was this black car coming towards me and all of a sudden those lights came on. Oh man, I'm in trouble now. Lord, please don't let it be Ken. Please, Lord, he's a DPS that went to my church. Officer, please, Lord, don't let it be Ken. Pulls up in there, and I look at the back there. Oh, I can't tell. And he comes up, sir. As soon as he said, sir, oh, Lord, it's Ken. I'm in trouble now. Clyde, what in the world are you doing? I can't believe this. And, well, I'm sorry. I'd only been saved for a year. I'm sorry, Ken. Clyde, come on back here in my car. He took me back to his car, and then he showed me, look at this radar. It was doing this. It was blinking 100. Does it normally do that? Not over. It's only on three digits. When it starts blinking, I thought, oh, man, I'm in trouble now. Are you going to write it for 100? No, I'm going to have a little mercy on your soul, because if you write it for a 100, it'll be the maximum fine. And I know you don't have any money. So he was gracious and wrote it for 70. It was the 55 speed limit, so he was gracious. And I started learning some lessons, not enough, but anyway, that's my history. Whooping. So if you see the world Guinness World Book of Records on Highway 105, it's Clyde here at 100 miles an hour, unless someone else has broken it. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 1, I would that ye knew what great conflict I had for you and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. Verse 3, in whom, Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, as ye received Him by faith, trusting in His salvation, so walk ye in Him by faith, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete. Not partially complete, not if complete, it is complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. And in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, where also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Does any of what we just read sound like a if-then, or you better do this thing? No. These are things that are facts as far as our salvation is concerned. And it's also encouraging to, since you've received Christ by faith, so walk ye in Him. Don't put yourself under a lot of laws and regulations, unless you just need to discipline your body or whatever it might be. To trust Christ is to simply believe this book and let it saturate your mind and heart. It will help you as we, by faith, we put Christ in our hearts in Ephesians chapter 4 by the Word of God. It's studying the Word of God that puts Christ in there, because here is the only thing that we have that tells us and shows us who Christ is this book. And if we trust in this Word of God, we will have the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to be complete in Christ? You are. Trust Him. If you want to grow in the knowledge and have the understanding as it grows, get in the book. Study it. We've been told many times by whoever stood up here to study the Word of God, because it keeps us from error. Look in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil through philosophy and vain deceit. Well, I can tell you right now, there's a radio broadcast that talks about philosophy all the time. Augustinian philosophy of the early church. It's a guy who has a PhD in everything you could think of. And he talks about philosophy. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. And these people turn those books they have, what Bible is it called? The Geneva Bible. Because it's the most accurate, he says. But it doesn't agree with the King James, I guarantee you, many, many times. It's amazing how many things that were changed. And even the men who in that era were in the Geneva Bible said, Lord, we need something. And they prayed, and the guy who was burning at the stake said, Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. And guess what happened in the 1611? We get our King James Bible. And think about this, as far as the King James Bible is concerned. The King James Bible from 1611 and until I think it was 1889 or 6, somewhere around there, where the Revised Standard Version was coming out. When was the greatest time of missionary activity in the world? It was from 1611 until a new version started coming out. England put out so many missionaries, and it just pushing them out. They were going out. Guess what they had? King James Bible. The King James Bible led men to understand who they were in Christ. They didn't have it down perfect, but the greatest missionary effort that ever happened was from 1611 all the way through when the other versions started coming out, and men started getting deceived by these versions coming out. 1901, the American Standard Version, and versions, and people started depending on them. Well, Mark 1:2 and all those versions are a complete outright lie. I mean, it's a lie. Isaiah didn't say that. Malachi did. And it blows me away when Luke 2:33 and 2:43 say Joseph is Jesus' father. Not in my Bible. It says Joseph and his mother. Joseph and his mother. The King James Bible was a standard. I'm not exalting King James. And it's just a version. We use King James. It's just identifying the version. It's God's Word. And we believe it is God's Word. But the greatest missionary activity they ever had is during that time. And as more of these versions come along, you can listen to it on the radio and see what's going on. The gobbledygook that's on the radio, how to have a successful life, how to be successful in this life, how to have a happy marriage, how to do this, how to do that, and how to do this, and how to do that. And it's never about the gospel of Christ. That guy that I was just listening on the way in, he's Stand Up for Jesus, this is a program. He never once shares the gospel of Christ. Never. I keep wanting to write him, and hopefully he would come to our Arlington Bible study when I go up to Arlington. But it's Stand Up for Jesus. It's turn back to the Lord. America, let's turn back to the Lord. It's not going to happen because men will not need, they need a Savior individually. In Romans to Philemon, we have individualism, so to speak. Trust Christ, grow in the grace, fellowship around the Word of God. That's it. Trust Christ, grow in grace, fellowship around the Word of God. Go out and help others trust Christ, fellowship around the Word of God. It's individuals trusting Christ. It's not a nation. I wish our nation would turn. I really do. I would to see the glory of our nation. But it's not going to happen. I wish it would. And think about blessing. The nation is being blessed. Ours is blessed because we have a lot of natural resources and we've had a lot of people that just worked hard. You know, Japan doesn't have any natural resources. But they work hard. And they produce a lot of stuff. I wonder, maybe we should go be Buddhist or Shintoist or whatever that might be. You think? Nah. You see how fallacy this might be? Germany has been knocked down how many times? And they're still back up there, one of the strongest financial nations in the world. Think we ought to go out there and be an atheist? No. You see how the fallacy of this? England's not the world superpower, but it's pretty rich. has money. On and on it goes. The blessings, it rains on the poor, it rains on the rich, it rains on the unjust, it rains on the just. Just like the Lord said it would. Trust the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Realize that we're not an if-then. Thank goodness we're not. Because if we did, it's just like me. 55 miles an hour is the speed limit. Oh no, I've got to break it. I'm just going to break it. It's just how we are. Our flesh is. We want to break the law. Dean, you can't do this. I'm going to do it. Glad you can't do this. I'm going to do it. Till that spanking, that happens. So anyway, trust the Word of God. Trust Christ. Believe that He died for you and was buried and rose again for your justification. It's so simple. Just trust Him. It is so wonderful when you lay your head down on the pillow and you know if you don't wake up, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be with the Lord. It is so wonderful. And the day it happened to be when I was 18 years of age, the next morning, I made it through it, but I'm saved. And I knew it because I didn't have to get up and do my prayer list and my Bible reading and all those other things I've been doing for 2 years trying to prove that I was spiritual. And then I finally started thinking, now I'm going to have to learn how to study the Word of God on my own because I don't have the pressure of having to do it. When I got saved, I realized something happened. The war was over, and I finally realized God wasn't mad at me. He loves me. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. That's Romans chapter 8. And if God, who delivered up His Son for us, you think He's going to throw you away? I gave up the ultimate sacrifice for you. Trust Him. You're sealed into the day of redemption. There's no way you being taken out of that. We don't live in 1 John. We don't live in James. These are books that we read and study and understand because there are great principles to have, especially in James 3 about wisdom and understanding and the righteousness of God and the things we have to do. I mean, don't have to do, comparing those things. But it's the Romans to Philemon. Romans to Philemon. And as Brother Jerry said many times, if you want to understand the rest of the Bible, study Romans to Philemon. Study it, study it, study it. And then if you think you've got it down, study it some more. Because it opens up Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. I love that verse, Isaiah 26:3. Here little, there little, 29:13. Here little, there little. That's how God does it. He knows how our brains think. Study this, study that, compare these things. Here little, there little. Anyway, I'm done. Let's take a break. Woo-hoo-hoo! Thank goodness. Well, at least there weren't no tomatoes this week. We're going to take a break, and then Brother Dean's going to share with us. Got 20 minutes.